The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here.
This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, June 16th, 2021, the morning after Major League Baseball formally announced a crackdown on foreign substances. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York, and we have a lot to get to today. And we're going to work to move beyond the good versus evil stuff that's going on between Major League Baseball and the Players Association and find some nuance, which is where you wish baseball could be. Underneath all the news about foreign substances, the injury to Tyler Glasnow, and what he said yesterday, there was a lot going on. A great game in Citi Field between the Cubs and the Mets. Taijuan Walker was outstanding.
The 2-2. On the inside corner, strike three called. Walker claps his hand against his mitt as he heads off the mound after his career-high 12th strikeout of the game. It's a 1-2-3 inning. He's retired 12 in a row.
That from WCBS, the Mets with a 3-2 lead at that point. They had a 3-2 lead in the ninth inning. Seth Lugo was on the mound. Pinch runner Jake Marisnyk at first base. And this happened.
Hayward up next. McCann hasn't ended the game with a strike him out, throw him out yet.
2-2 coming to Sogard. Line, center field, base hit. Over toward right center. That'll enable Marisnyk to go to third. He's going to take the turn. He's going to try to score. Guillorme's throw to the plate. Oh. McCann with the tag. Marisnyk is out.
What is he doing?
Challenging the relay from Luis Guillorme, who threw a one-hop bullet to the plate. And Marisnyk is out, running through a stop sign. And the Cubs are down to their final out of the game.
Actually, he was waived home, and there was only one out at the time. The Cubs lose the game 3-2. The Mets, at the end of the day, a five-game lead in the National League East, and soon they'll have Jeff McNeil and Michael Conforto returning to their lineup. Cody Bellinger, who missed 46 games earlier this season with a hairline fracture in his leg, was placed in the IL on Tuesday by the Dodgers because of lingering tightness in his left hamstring. They're hopeful this is not a major injury. Max Scherzer, who injured his groin in the first inning during a start on Saturday, was placed on the injured list, but he doesn't think it's serious enough where he didn't even want to call it an injury. Chicago White Sox second baseman Nick Madrigal will miss the rest of the 2021 season after undergoing surgery to repair tendon tears in his right hamstring on Tuesday. We'll be talking with David Schoenfield about the importance of this injury in the American League race. Indians ace Shane Bieber spoke with reporters for the first time since being shut down because of right shoulder issue. He told reporters that he'd been bothered by irritation in his shoulder for most of the season. The Red Sox, the Braves, what a game this was. Back and forth. And in the top of the eighth inning, Alex Verdugo got a big hit.
Swinging a high fly ball, center field, pretty deep. Back it goes to the warning track, to the fence. It's gone. It carried out. Three-run homer, Verdugo raising his arms as he rounds the bases. And the Red Sox lead it 10-7, a high towering fly that just kept carrying and carrying and went out.
Joe Castiglione, WEEI 93.7 FM. Yankees and the Blue Jays were tied in the eighth inning, 5-5. Then this happened.
And shortly, fair inside third and down the left field line. Wade will score easily for Frazier. It's a big pinch hit. RBI double gives the Yankees a 6-5 lead.
As Michael Kay said after the game, it was a big win for the Yankees, given everything that's gone on with them. That was on the Yes Network. And by the way, Michael Kay will be joining us later this week on the podcast to talk about his new book and to talk about the Yankees. Reds, Brewers, what a game between these two teams. It was 0-0 going into extra innings. And this is how the Reds broke the tie on their way to a 2-1 win.
Way inside and hit him for a run. Suarez hit by pitch. Base is still loaded, nobody out, and the Reds have the first run of the game in the 10th, 1-0.
Cardinals, Marlins were tied 1-1 in the bottom of the ninth inning in St. Louis, and this happened.
It was 3-for-7, two home runs against this right-hander. The 1-2. And a high fly ball into deep right center. It's at the wall. Goldie! Wins it! He drives in both tonight.
Yeah, McLaughlin on the Cardinals television network. The Astros played host to the Rangers, and they trailed 2-1, bottom of the ninth inning. Carlos Correa down to his last strike.
Long fly ball, deep right field. Correa has tied it up.
Todd Callis with that call right there. The Astros tie the score there. Later on, Jose Altuve came to the plate with the bases loaded.
0-1. And Altuve hits it in the air, pretty deep to left. Sends back. Martin looking up. See you later. See you later. See you later. A walk-off grand slam for Jose Altuve. And the Astros win it in the bottom of the 10th.
Oh, my. Robert Ford with that call on WBME. The Padres were in Colorado yesterday and took an early lead.
Comes. First pitch swinging, Fernando Tatis Jr. to the opposite field, gonna go. A two-run homer. Number 20 for number 23. 2-0.
That from the Padres radio network, but the Rockies would come back.
Down the line, fair ball. Come on down. Garrett Hampson had the second with a double. Tapia makes it 5-4, Colorado.
That from the Rockies television network. At the end of the day, the Giants lead the National League West by a game over the Dodgers. The Padres now 5 games back. But the big news yesterday, of course, Major League Baseball announcing the forthcoming enforcement of a rule that's been on the book for years about foreign substances. It's a rule that's been ignored, and it drew a lot of commentary yesterday. Brian Cashman, the Yankees general manager, was asked if the Yankees have helped foster a culture of using sticky stuff.
No, I don't believe we have. Now, do I believe we're part of a, you know, since I broke in here, we as the Yankees are no different than everybody else in Major League Baseball, recognizing the pine tar and the bullfrog and how everybody's using it. And it gives you a chance to grip the ball better. And clearly that type of stuff. Yeah, that exists here and exists everywhere else. But our pitching lab isn't a biomechanic. Let's test all these different substances and see what sticky stuff comes up to be the best. I never heard of Spider Tech, God as my witness, until 3 weeks ago.
Alex Cora, the Red Sox manager, addressed the rule changes with the Red Sox staff before their game with the Braves on Tuesday.
I'll be open about it. You know, I come from suspension, and I know how embarrassing that is and how tough that is, not only on you as a person, but your family, your friends, and the people that love you. And 10 games a year, 2 years, 3 years, it doesn't matter. Being suspended is hell.
Yep, Alex Cora pretty honest about what his experience was. Even Charles Barkley was talking about this last night.
I just want to give a shout out to Major League Baseball. I saw y'all new thing where if y'all catch pitchers cheating, you're going to suspend them from 10 days with pay. Way to stick it to those cheaters. And they get a private jet, right? Ooh, I mean, that is some harsh damn punishment.
What is it, 10 days?
10 days, they're going to get suspended 10 days with pay.
Yeah, Charles Barkley with some sarcasm. I followed up that with a text to Charles, and he responded, LOL, it's called a vacation. Casey Mize was told during the Tigers game last night he had to change his glove because of its color, and he was well aware of what might be said about his situation, given all the talk about foreign substances.
Yeah, he said the color, the gray color was too light, which, you know, I thought it was, you know, pretty thing to do, honestly, like, because I assume everyone thinks that I was using sticky stuff now, so, which I was not. So I just thought the timing of it was pretty, you know, honestly. So either the umpires need to get on the same page because I've made 12 starts, you know, and everybody was fine with it, or John Tempain just needs to have some feel and just let me pitch, you know, with the glove that the other team did not complain about. You know, he brought it up himself. So John's a good umpire and a very nice guy, but I mean, just has to feel the situation, because I hate that I'm in a position now where I assume everyone thinks I was using sticky when in reality that was not the situation at all.
And Tyler Glasnow had a lot of thoughts yesterday as well. We'll get to those in a second. But first, a heads up, The Ultimate Fighter's back. Stream new episodes every Tuesday, only on ESPN Plus. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/UFC. And there'll be plenty of chatter about Kevin Durant's huge night against the Bucks. That was fun to watch. Across all of ESPN's NBA podcasts, you can follow The Low Post, Jalen and Jacoby, The Hoop Collective, and The Woj Pod, wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better.
But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So I think before we play what Tyler Glasnow said yesterday, I think we need to put him into context. I saw headlines referring to what he said yesterday as a quote-unquote rant, and I just think that casting is dead wrong. He is as smart and fair-minded a person as you're going to meet in baseball. Open-minded, gracious, self-deprecating. He doesn't take himself too seriously. I've told this story on the podcast before, and I'll tell it again. When he was a rookie, I was in Pirates camp, and I asked him, a series of questions, as I did all of his teammates, do you have any tattoos? And I didn't see any. I assumed the answer was no, and he had this big grin on his face. He goes, yeah, I got two. One is on the inside of his lower lip. I think he said he lost a bet and had to have that one put in. And then the other was at the bottom of his foot. So this is someone with a sense of humor. This is him earlier this year talking after a start in April about being chastised by his mother for cussing on television.
And like I saw too, my mom texted me like, you got to stop cussing on TV, like cover your mouth or something. But
in the same post-game press conference, this is him referring to one of his own comments. Give a listen.
I know you said you didn't feel great or didn't feel super comfortable or anything, but I mean, still happy with just the efficiency on top of everything. It didn't look like grinding through, I guess.
Yeah. Can we just forget I said that? I feel like an idiot even saying that. I'd say like
Taylor, I'm going to bring you in here because we did an interview, a long interview with him last year. This is someone who's really thoughtful and self-aware.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's very even keeled. And I agree with you in saying that yesterday wasn't a rant. He was clearly annoyed, but to say it was a rant, that would mean like steam is coming out of his ears and, he was on a roll. I felt like it was more of kind of an essay. Like he really did like flesh through all of his thoughts on this subject. So I feel like a rant might've been a little bit more flippant. There might've been a little bit more anger evident in his tone. And I just don't really feel like that was the case. I don't agree with everything he said. And some of what he's talking about, I think, is concerning for sure. But to call it a rant, I agree, is not really the proper framing.
All right. So he came out of his start on Monday with elbow discomfort. And during that game, he was repeatedly throwing out baseball, seemingly trying to find the right feel. He's someone who tends to sweat a lot. Well, what he found out yesterday after coming out of the game was that he is a partially torn UCL and a flexor tendon strain. He spoke yesterday about what he thought was the impact of trying to go cold turkey without a foreign substance. Give a listen.
Tyler, you were pretty frustrated about the ball last night. Just any more thought as to whether that may have kind of played a part in any of this, or has that kind of entered your mind yet?
Convenient, but I 100% believe that contributed to me getting hurt.
No doubt. Without a doubt. I think like it's ridiculous. I'm just going to, I have used sticky stuff before. It's ridiculous that like, it seems like this whole public perception of like, oh, it's just like select few people. Like your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something too. Like if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like you have to use something. So in the past, my like substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty. But two starts ago against the Nationals, I went cold turkey, nothing. And before that start, I remember when all this stuff came out, I was talking to people and talking to doctors, and they were like, the thing that maybe MLB doesn't realize or that players don't realize is like, what is the injury? Like, what is the prevention of like, maybe it'll add to injuries. And in my mind, I was like, that sounds dumb. That sounds like an excuse a player would use to make sure he can use sticky stuff. But I threw to the Nationals with nothing. I've never been, I don't use sticky stuff to, I don't use spider tack. I don't need more spin. I have huge hands. I spin the ball fine. I want grip. I did well against the Nationals, probably one of the best starts I had all year. I woke up the next day and was like, I am sore in places that I didn't even know I had muscles in. Like I felt completely different. I switched my fastball grip and my curveball grip. I've thrown it the same way for however many years I've played baseball. I had to put my fastball deeper into my hand and grip it way harder. And I had to, instead of holding my curveball at the tip of my fingers, I had to dig it deeper into my hand. So I'm like choking the shit out of all my pitches. My cue I used to use with Snyder was hold the ball like an egg, like nice and loose, be loose. That's out of the window. So I now have to develop a new cue. I have to develop something where I can't hold the ball light anymore. I have to dig it deep into my hand. So I'm taking it, and you have to think, I'm not a doctor. I know you guys probably know that, but I'm taking a fastball. I'm squeezing the ball twice as hard. So all of this is, I'm recruiting all these muscles, and I'm taking my arm as hard as I can throwing the ball. So I'm going from like a flexed muscle to letting a ball go. And like I said, I was like, maybe it's not going to, I don't think it'll lead to any injuries, but waking up after that start, I was like, okay, this sucks. Something is weird here. And then that same feeling is persisting all week long. Then I go into my start yesterday, and that same feeling just, it pops or whatever the hell happened to my elbow. Like I feel it, something happens. And I'm sitting out there just like, you gotta be kidding me. The whole day yesterday, I'm sitting there trying to get a grip on a ball. And I'm not trying to blame anyone. I'm not trying to say like, oh, this is all MLB's fault. Like they got thrown into this situation too. They're doing the best they possibly can to navigate around this. They're trying to make this fair for people. I understand that, but you can't, whether you want us to not use sticky stuff or not is fine. Fine. Do it in the off season. Give us a chance to adjust to it. But I just threw 80 something, 70, whatever innings. And then you just told me I can't use anything in the middle of the year. I had to change everything I've been doing the entire season, everything out of the window. I have to start doing something completely new. And then I'm telling you, I truly believe that's why I got hurt. Me throwing 100 and being 6'7" is why I got hurt, but that contributed. And so I'm just frustrated that like they don't understand how hard it is to pitch one, but to tell us to do something completely different in the middle of a season is insane. I just don't, it's ridiculous. There has to be some give and take here. You can't just take away everything and not add something. Pitchers need to be able to have some sort of control or some sort of grip on the ball. And I just don't want things like this to happen to somebody else. I don't want a fastball to sail away and hit somebody in the face like it already has. So I just think like, I understand you need to take an aggressive approach here, but like, I just think people are going about it all wrong. And I'm sitting here, my lifelong dream, I want to go out and win a Cy Young. I want to be an all-star. And then now it's all shit on because I like, now it's over and I can't, now I have to try and rehab to come back in the playoffs. So I'm clearly frustrated. It's just, I think there needs to be a lot more. People need to figure this out. You can't just tell us to use nothing. It's crazy.
Tyler, when you went cold turkey, as you said, you had no choice. You had to do that. You couldn't just keep going the way you were doing it. You had to go cold turkey.
I'm not about to go out there and get like, they said you can't use anything. So I'm like, all right, I guess I just have to follow the rules. Like if you're going to tell me, I'm not going to go out there and just do it. I'm going to use nothing if that's what you want from me. And if this whole new memo is going out, like sunscreen and rosin is apparently the same as spider tack. Like, all right, I guess I'll just adapt and I'll learn. And the only thing I learned is that it hurts to throw a ball in the middle of a season from having something to not having something. And it's not this, like, it's not, I think there is a fine line between guys using stuff, spider tack, to make their ball spin more or like doing something to get a grip. I've never been a dude to use it to get my stuff to be better. I struck out 11 of the best, some of the best hitters in the big league. I think the Nationals was probably the best offense I faced all year. And that was probably, in my opinion, my best start. And I had nothing on my hand. So like, it's just, I get you don't want guys to go out there and just use crazy stuff and spin stuff that it just is unfair, but like you can't, these balls are way too inconsistent. They've changed them the past 5 years. Like you go to an away place, like the first inning, y'all get some balls that have grip on them. And then a foul ball, it's a 1-2 count, and they throw another ball in and it's just full of chalk. And I'm like, I don't even know what to do. I'm trying to find sweat in places, and it's just, they're too inconsistent. Just try to get a pre-tack ball or get something that is consistent. That's all we need.
Tyler, is it safe to say many pitchers feel this way? You're just not speaking for yourself, it certainly sounds like.
Yes, it's not even just pitchers, it's hitters. Like we had a union meeting the other day and 36 reps were on there. And it was like, does anyone have a problem with sunscreen and rosin? No, not a single person said there was a problem with it. Hitters, go ahead and use it. But then we have this new rule that comes out to where like, it's just, I don't know. I understand MLB's trying to solve a problem. I'm not like saying what they're doing is wrong. Like it's a hard job. Manfred, all these guys, like they're in a really tough situation. It's probably hard. I understand that. But like, if all the hitters and pitchers are under the agreement of like, we need to have something, get rid of all the crazy stuff, get rid of spider tech. Great. But put something behind the mound or find something better than Mississippi mud or whatever they rub the balls up with. It's just dirt and water. And then when you don't store them properly, they just get like chalky and bad. Like figure out a way to do a pre-tack ball like all the other leagues have, or do something to make the rub up stuff different. Just like, we don't need anything like super sticky, just something with grip, like something uniform that I can actually like throw a ball with confidence and not feel like I'm going to sail one every five pitches.
To review, he was honest about using in the past. He was honest about how he was struggling to replicate the feel for the baseball, and he gave an honest assessment about where baseball is.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes. The clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield, who covers baseball for ESPN. He's speaking to us from Seattle very early in the morning. So I'm glad we got a topic that's going to get your morning flow going. That's for sure.
Yeah, I will wake up. That is for sure.
An interesting day yesterday. I mean, we've been talking for, you know, weeks about, you know, the fact that the hammer at some point was going to be coming down from Major League Baseball. What'd you think of the rollout of their announcement that they're going to enforce this rule that's been on the books for years?
Well, look, Buster, there's no doubt I get it's controversial doing this in the middle of the season. At the same time, I'm kind of on the page that MLB had no choice. And remember, Michael Hill had sent out a memo back in March 23rd, that this is going to be monitored. We're going to be checking spin rates. We're going to be checking balls. So to me, I view that as a warning to every pitcher in Major League Baseball that this might have been coming down. So I get it, you know, and we'll talk about Tyler Glasnow. I get pitchers have been doing this. They don't want to change how they've been gripping the ball and so on and so on, but they shouldn't be surprised that this is what MLB is going to do.
Well, and the first memo from Major League Baseball about this came out last year.
Yeah.
You know, from what I understand, Chris Young, who's now the general manager of the Texas Rangers, he was, you know, one of the forces, the former major league pitcher, certainly has an understanding of pitching, is sympathetic to pitchers. And he talked about how this could be weaponized, a competitive advantage for pitchers. And so in spring of 2020, that's when the first memo went out. And so that you're right. They've been sounding the drums behind the scenes, and pitchers just kept on doing it. including Tyler Glasnow, who acknowledged this yesterday in his conversation with the media members. He also talked about his belief that his injury suffered the other day may have been related, was related in his eyes to this adjustment that's coming. What was your takeaway about that?
Well, look, we both talked to him. He's a smart kid. I appreciated the honesty. On the other hand, we don't know. And I think you could argue maybe it was a little irresponsible for him to put the blame on his injury on not being able to use his usual pitch grip substances. On the other hand, you know, he seemed to have a legitimate reason. He explained how he had changed the grip on his fastball and curveball. What did he say? I felt like I was choking the ball. He was holding both grips deeper in his hand. His curveball, he says, normally he uses it off the fingertips, and he had to grip it deeper in the fingers to get a better grip. On the other hand, you know, he throws 100 miles an hour, and the majority of pitchers who throw that hard usually get hurt and have Tommy John surgery. So it's hard to separate the two. I understand the anger and the frustration, and I love that he was out there and open, you know, the day after getting injured to meet with the media. I give him a lot of credit for that.
And I got to tell you, last night I was reaching out to people around the game, you know, players, folks on the team side, and there were a lot of people who bought what he was saying. They felt like, you know what, this is a significant adjustment to make in season. You know, if in fact there had been an opportunity, you know, back in November when, you know, when he first started throwing and beginning his offseason throwing program, if he had known that this was coming, if all the pitchers had known for sure that this was coming, then maybe they would have time to learn how to pitch with something else. But this is done in midstream. On the other hand, I will tell you, Dave, that my biggest takeaway from this whole thing is how it illuminated the absolute lack of productive, collaborative dialogue between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. And all of them are responsible for that. And the players and the game are hurt by the fact that for whatever reason, these two sides cannot talk.
Yeah.
You know, I had one official, person on the union side yesterday say to me that he really feels like that in some respects, the union leadership has some responsibility here, because you think about what was being said, we can't, agree on some particular substance. That's crazy. Like, it's crazy to me that this conversation has been going on for so long. And if, in fact, a lot of players, as Tyler said yesterday, that a lot of players agree that a little bullfrog, a little sunscreen and rosin is fine, why hasn't that been worked out? Like, why haven't the two sides been able to work that out? Why has Rob Manfred not been able to build a relationship with players where he can hear that? Why has there not been something where in these last few weeks, the two sides aren't just talking to each other directly about this issue and trying to find that middle ground and trying to find that substance instead of working for umpires? And Rob and Tony absolutely hold some responsibility for that.
Right. No, Buster, I agree. It's absolutely a two-way street, even though I do feel MLB had little choice but to do this, but it's absolutely terrible that they had to do this in the middle of the season, and I'm with you. Even Josh Donaldson, when he was talking about Garrett Cole and other pitchers last week, he said hitters are okay with sunscreen, you know, and bullfrog and rosin, but obviously pitchers have gone too far. So it seemed like this issue could have easily have been worked out for, let's temporarily allow sunscreen and rosin, anything else. What we saw in the memo yesterday, 10-game suspension, everything else absolutely not allowed, you know, and we could have been clear of doing this in the middle of the season.
Well, and you know, each side is going to have its perspective on, well, that side did that, and that's why we can't talk, and this side did that, and that's why we can't talk. The leaders of this conversation are Rob and Tony Clark.
Yeah.
And the fact that they can't talk, they hold some responsibility for that. And so when you hear players all point the finger at MLB, no, some of the responsibility has to be on your side too. And keep in mind, and I think this is important to remember, a lot of this conversation now is not as, you know, folks like Trevor Bauer, and we'll hear from him in a second, saying, well, this is MLB screwing it up. You know what, Trevor? A lot of your peers feel like it's become a competitive advantage for pitchers, and they're not happy with it either. So just don't point the finger only at MLB. Talk to your leadership.
Right.
Even now, nothing prevents these two sides from, you know, from Tony to call Rob and say, hey, look, we saw what happened with Tyler Glasnow. Let's go meet in a room and see if we can talk about a middle ground. Let's see if we can come up with another substance. Nothing prevents them from doing that.
And there needs to, I think you nailed it too. And Tony Clark needs to grasp his players association a little better than he does. Has he not been talking to any hitters the last couple years? You know, because this has been going on. I know Josh Donaldson maybe is one of the first hitters to really go public and say it's gone too far, but come on, Tony, you got to be communicating with your people as well. And unfortunately, it just feels so much like a replay of steroids, where we were all okay with it when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were breaking the record. But then Barry Bonds was too good. He dominated too much. And finally, everybody's like, well, we got to do something. And that's what happened here. Well, the league batting average goes from 260 to 250 to 240. And then now it's down to 236. And we realized we went too far. And now we got to crack down and have the draconian midseason change. And it's so frustrating as a fan. I feel frustrated for the players. I feel awful that Glasnow is injured.
Yep.
And I think a lot of this could have been avoided.
Some other thoughts on this that I had, I'm curious to see what you think. Maybe it's time for pitchers to understand that moving forward, you're not going to just simply be able to throw as freaking hard as you can with complete confidence. Maybe you're going to have to dial it back, because without spider tack or some other substance, you're not going to be able to control the ball as well. I heard Dan O'Dowd, the former Rockies GM, talking about this on the Baseball Network yesterday. I thought it was dead on. You know, the pitchers now have sort of, for lack of a better word, have been enabled to just feel like, you know what, I can throw as hard as I can and I'm going to be able to control the ball. Well, maybe you're just going to have to dial it back instead of hitting the accelerator.
Yeah, and, you know, when we see what Glasnow said, exactly, we realize, boy, these guys really absolutely have come to rely on this stuff too much. And that's why I do feel MLB had to do it, and why long-term, I think it will be better for the sport. You know, I think we will see pitchers not throwing as hard. That'll cut down on the strikeouts. The breaking balls won't break as much. That'll cut down on the strikeouts. So I think it's going to get us more closer to that pitching hitting balance that we want.
So Trevor Bauer has been at the forefront of this conversation. He was calling for a level playing field for years. And then, for lack of a better way to describe it seemed like because he couldn't beat him, he joined him. He had an incredible year last year, won a Cy Young Award. And now in talking about this, he again is saying he wants a level playing field, but he feels like that this happening in midseason potentially does put pitchers at risk. Give a listen to him yesterday in the Dodgers pregame show when he's asked if he's worried about more injuries.
On baseball now because of this.
Absolutely, I am. There's a couple of issues, and again, things that MLB hasn't thought about because a lot of the people making these rules never played, but that's 100% a thing. There's guys that sweat a lot, and their hands are wet. I don't know how those people are supposed to get a grip on the ball when the balls are so slick. And so, of course you're going to have to grip the ball harder. That activates all the muscles in your forearm in a way that hasn't been done before and isn't healthy. Like, in the sequence of events, your forearm needs to be loose until such a time when it starts to accelerate, and then everything can co-contract and protect the elbow. But if you're gripping the ball initially and going through it, going through your delivery, different than you normally do, of course there's going to be, you know, an adjustment period necessary, and of course there can be injuries. The other thing that people haven't thought about is, back to this issue, sweat and rosin. If that's illegal and I get suspended, my team has to play down a roster spot. They lose a pitcher. If a couple pitchers get suspended, they lose a couple pitchers. Now the bullpen guys have to carry more innings, so they're going to be overworked. And then those guys may be at risk for injury, even if they've done nothing wrong, just one of their teammates has. So again, it's just it's not the right time to do this at all. But And again, to be clear, like, I am in favor of leveling the playing field, and I've been saying that and screaming it for 4 years, and nice to see that they're finally doing something, but, you know, typical MLB, they just messed the whole thing up.
So I absolutely, Dave, agree with a lot of what Trevor said right there. But again, the us versus them thing is not productive, and it's not right. In touch with reality. He has the ability to reach out to union leadership to get other players, including position players, and say, let's have a talk about this. And to call Rob Manfred and said, look, we need to try to find a solution together. Yeah. Let's get together and try to find and get an agreement that we all can work with, you know, to put sunscreen on, to do rosin. Let's agree on something instead of just shouting at each other.
Yeah, I mean, I might get in trouble for saying this, but personally, it is a little hard to rile up too much sympathy for the cheaters because in my mind, they have been cheating and they know what they've done. They know deep down that they went too far with this. And I totally agree. Mid-season, unacceptable. You know, he makes a good point about the sweat. You know, what's going to happen in October when we're playing in Yankee Stadium, when it's 41 degrees, when you really need that pine tar to grip the ball. That's why it wouldn't surprise me if we get some addendums to this ruling, you know, in the upcoming weeks and allow the rosin or even a little pine tar.
I really hope that, you know, Trevor leads that conversation, maybe, you know, get some sort of a group and go talk to folks in Major League Baseball and try to find some middle ground. That would be really helpful. Yep. And it's interesting. You teed me up perfectly for my next question. I started this yesterday with Jess. You know, I personally think, Dave, that we have to stop as we try to find a productive middle ground. I think we have to stop thinking of pitchers we've used in the past as cheaters. I don't like that word. I really feel like that what happened was, is in the context, within the context of no action by the Player Association, by Major League Baseball, to come up with a baseball surface that would work for all pitchers, there was this gentleman's agreement. And, you know, I mean, you and I have been talking about it for years. You thought at some point this could turn into chaos, and that's exactly what's happened. Right. And so I don't feel like you can refer to these guys as cheaters when everybody on the field knew what was going on. Everybody in front offices, the commissioner knew what was going on. All the pitchers, all the hitters, they all knew what was going on for years, and they didn't do it, which is why I have a problem with that particular word, and I feel like it's unproductive. What do you think?
Yeah, okay, I can give that to you, and it's fair. I shouldn't compare using spider tack to steroids, which is a, you know, illegal substance. And yes, same scenario. Baseball didn't crack down on this for years, right? So go ahead and use. But yeah, the lax, you know, ruling on pine tar and rosin and sunscreen and all that, you know, goes back 100 years, right? You know, pitchers have been allowed to do something to improve their grip. So yeah, you're probably fair. It's not productive. At the same time, you know, pitchers knew they were gaining enormous advantages here. Obviously, we've seen the studies on how much these new grips improve their spin rate. So they did know they were gaining an advantage. So maybe cheaters too strong. You know, Buster, I remember I heard John Smoltz say this, you know, a few years ago on TV, that he never felt like he was maxing out when he was pitching. And that's what I think these pitchers are going to have to learn. Sorry, Tyler Glasnow, you can't throw every fastball 99 miles an hour. Tone it down. You're still going to be pretty darn good throwing 96, you know, so maybe that is where we will eventually go with the game.
Well, and I'm going to counter my own point right there. I was watching this morning, an old Baseball Tonight presentation from 2015 on the use of pine tar and sunscreen, and it was done by our old friend Dallas Braden, and he referred to what he did on the field as cheating. and he acknowledged that he considered himself to be a cheater. So, you know, maybe I'm going too far. I am curious, Taylor, you know, you have been listening to all this conversation in recent weeks. You know, we've had all this conversation about foreign substances. I'd love for you to drop in your perspective on this about the word cheater. How do you feel about it?
I don't think we can call them cheaters. They like you've said, Buster, this, they've been doing this for years. It's been a rule in the books that hasn't been enforced. I mean, it might as well not exist at all if it's not being enforced, right? What's the point of having it?
Yeah. I think it's an important place to go to start with is if Major League Baseball and the Players Association restart this conversation, set that aside. Now, I will say this, if moving forward, now that the gauntlet's been laid down and they told you what the rules are, if you make a choice to choose to do this going forward, yeah, you're cheating your peers. All right. Let's look at the Glasnow injury from a practical standpoint. We don't know when he's going to be back. What's the impact on the American League East?
Yeah, it's huge. Tampa Bay has been probably the best team in baseball over the last month, right? Man, they're down a lot of innings from last year's rotation now without Glasnow, without Charlie Morton, without Blake Snell. They've obviously survived just fine so far. At some point, though, boy, man, they were going to go deep into their arsenal. And I know they always come up with new pitchers, but there's no doubt this improves the odds of the Red Sox, you know, to stay close in that division. If the Yankees can ever start hitting, it helps them. If the Blue Jays ever start pitching, that helps them. I still think, because it's the Rays, they always find a way. They're probably still the division favorite, but, you know, I think those odds drop quite a bit. And I know he's going to try to come back, you know, at some point this season, but who knows?
And last one, I want to ask you about with the news we got yesterday on White Sox second baseman Nick Madrigal out for the year because he needed surgery to repair that hamstring injury that he had. This is someone who hit 305 this year, 349 on base percentage. And man, he is a tough little guy. Like, he is a battler. And the first thing I thought of when I saw this was like, oh man, we're not going to see him in the postseason if the White Sox make it. And it feels like someone, you know, has the ability to put the ball in play like him, 11 walks and 17 strikeouts this year in about 50 plus games. This is a big loss for the White Sox. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, as a undersized height person myself, you got to love all those little guys. Certainly, if you adjust for the era, one of the best contact hitters in the game's history. So, yeah, the White Sox. So they're now down, you know, three significant offensive players. You know, they're hoping Eloy Jimenez comes back at the end of the season. I'm not sure what the timetable is on Luis Robert. Don't you think, Buster, look into the trade market? And I'm thinking out loud here. Could they go after a Trevor Story? You know, and either you play Story at second, maybe you play Story at third, move Yoan Moncada back to second where he used to play. I think they're going to be going after a hitter, you know, here at the trade deadline now.
Yeah, and I think you would agree with me that when we talk about teams that we can assume are going to be aggressive at the deadline, the Padres, who pushed so many chips in this year, the Mets, who pushed so many chips in this year, the Blue Jays and the White Sox, they were the most aggressive teams in the offseason, and, you know, they potentially could follow it up. The only reason that why the White Sox might hold back a little bit is that they may be well in control of the American League Central by the time we get to the end of July and may not feel as pressed, you know, and so any additions really would be talking about trying to upgrade the team for the postseason. All right, sir. Thank you for doing this. Good to talk with you.
All right. Thanks, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets for a Wednesday. Just one for today. We have Eric Sorensen at Coach Sorensen 9. Eric writes in, if we didn't have a way to measure spin rates, do you think we would even be having a conversation about foreign substances?
It's a great question. And by the way, I just want to, you know, mention that we'll have more Bleacher Tweets tomorrow. I just thought today it was really important to hear a lot of voices on this topic and to try to put Tyler Glasnow into context, but we've got some more questions lined up for Bleacher Tweets tomorrow. On this one, I think that, yeah, spin rate has a lot to do with it because, of course, pitchers have been chasing spin rate and, you know, through the use of foreign substances, they've learned how to enhance it. And now, as we go through this enforcement period, the spin rates are going to be evidence. If somebody's spin rate suddenly spikes, everyone's going to wonder if he's using a foreign substance.
Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets for today. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter, and please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcast. Good show today, Buster.
That's it for today. My thanks to David Schoenfield, to Taylor, and to Tyler Glasnow, who provided us a window into nuance. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something that we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.